This podcast brought to you by Peterson Auto Group. With 5 stores and 10 brands and more than 1,800 new and used vehicles to choose from, Peterson Auto Group likely has your perfect car.
Live from the Next Title Studio, this is News Talk 670 KBOI. This is Bronco Tuesday, where we discuss the Olympic sports at Boise State. Now here are Paul J. Schneider, Chris Walton, and the voice of the Broncos, Bob Beeler, on 670 KBOI.
Top of the morning, Paul J., Chris, Bob Beeler. The general is with us here, Greg Patton from Boise State Tennis, and welcome.
Gosh, I'm so glad to be here.
Good. I haven't seen you in forever.
I know. Football's going on. It's fall, and I'm so excited. During the summer, I travel a lot, and we live the dream. I live the dream. I go to the volleyball games, and I see those ones. I see the energy that's just special to Boise. Then you go to the soccer game, the place is sold. You know, it's just crowded, and it's just so magical. The only thing about the fall that gets in the way for me is I'm usually gone on weekends, so I only get to see one football game in person. And I love going to it. You know, I'm a very social person. I love people. The thing about Boise is I just love being a part of the fabric. In a sense, I'm still like a college kid that just can't get enough. You know what I mean? Like every game, every concert, everything that needs to be goes on. So I'm living the dream. It's absolutely wonderful, and I'm really excited about our season coming up when our guys get to go, and we have a little bit of a precursor to the season this weekend. We run a tournament, Boise State, with 12 schools, and that's going to be so much fun, and it's great to get the guys back out on the dance floor, listening to the music in a sense, and showing their mojo, you know. And I'm really excited about the season. We're hungry coyotes on the prairie. Hungry, man. We're like ravished, and we want to get back in the groove. So yeah.
Well, your number one doubles team, Plachek and Lalovich, are helping you live the dreams.
Oh my gosh! And it was so great. It was so great to see how well they played. And they're both they're kind of fighting for a position, but they realize that. Doubles.
Real people are winning.
It's also a tactics, and it's ways that you may not be able to be. You know, guys, sometimes guys that are not very great singles players can be great doubles players.
Sure.
And I can see that spark in their eye. They're going like, hey, this is what's the word that they're a resource or they can play an important role in this team. In a certain role, and that role is maybe to really make great things happen in doubles.
Synergy.
So that's it. Synergy. I love that word.
So you had a very young team last year.
Oh, yeah.
It was like freshman, sophomore across
the
board.
That was it.
So how did that help you now? You took some lumps last year with a lot of new people that are maybe playing a spot up, like maybe somebody should have been a three, but they had to play a one kind of a thing as a young player. So how did taking some lumps last year help for this?
Well, you
year?
Know, you become a warrior in war, and they went to kind of maybe it's a bad analogy, but kind of it's like going to Afghanistan and surviving. But it was all based, last year, I learned from the very beginning that I had to be the most upbeat guy in the world while we were losing because I had all young. We were the youngest team in the country.
Mm-hmm.
And these guys were, a lot of them weren't ready for what was ahead of them because our schedule was way too tough. We lost guys through injuries and one academic issue. So what happened was we were decimated. And I just used it as a learning for the guys to get better. Hmm. And you're absolutely right. We had guys playing way above the position they should have played that year. But now we're ready to put together. And we're recruiting like crazy. I mean, I brought this guy in. I brought in a guy that was 988 on the ATP circuit. So basically what you're talking about is a guy that might have been playing NBA ball and sitting on the bench for the Lakers, and he's now playing college basketball. He went back to college. Well, that's what Matteo did, and it's within the rules. He played on the pro circuit, was a great player from Italy, but he's 5'7". He's got to work harder than anybody else on the pro circuit, and he played, as a young kid, and he was like Italy's choice. And he just realized, I want to get an education. I want to take my tennis as far as I can, but I want to go to college and play on a team. So because I do a lot of international stuff, he heard about me because I coach our national team. And gosh, he's a gift from heaven. I hope to get another Italian in January, and I'm still I've got several guys coming in January to really kind of buffer us up, and I think we're going to surprise the heck out of a lot of people. And the guys that, you know what, this is a great thing. You have to have, last year we only had seven guys. There was nobody pushing them. I mean, we were going to war, but there was nobody pushing within. You need to have guys fight for their lives to get a spot in the playing lineup. And I used to have that. And that's what made us great at Boise State. When we were a top 10 team and two in the nation, I had 14 guys that were all just pushing each other. And it was so apparent to me. So I am getting guys that are hungry. I'm bringing young guys. I'm going to bring in, well, hopefully some JC guys. They're the top JC guys in the country. They've verbally committed, but we still have to get them on, get them there and battle away for each other and push each other.
All right, we need to take a break. Talking with Greg Patton, head tennis coach at BSU. It's 8:44.
Now back to Bronco Tuesday on 670 KBOI.
Boise State tennis in the house. Greg Patton joins us this morning. Darrell Walters, the Fall Classic coming up. Tell us a little bit about that tournament Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
Well,
we're actually going to start on Thursday.
Well, we have so many guys. We have 12, 13 schools that are bringing players. And originally, we only felt we were going to have it limited to 64, but we had another school wanted to come. And this is a great training. We all in the fall kind of jog around to see what our players are like. It's amazing. I was just down at a tournament in Pocatello, and the guys, once you put them out there playing tournaments, you really kind of see what they got. And you can see where the nerves come in, and you can see where their doubts come in, and you can see what areas of their game. And I mean, I'm seeing areas in the game that I didn't see for my freshmen that are new this year that in practice, because, practice is just a little bit different, even though they're competing for a spot. So it's going to be fun. I mean, the weather's going to be good. Folks, you got to come out. The price is right. It's free. The weather's going to be great, and you're going to be seeing some great tennis. Oregon has been a top 20, 30 team. They're bringing five of their guys. And we've got Gonzaga, who's really made big inroads in tennis, and just the usual suspects like Idaho and, Utah, Weber State, and all those dudes. So it's going to be a lot of fun. And let me tell you, I've got the most exciting guy, freshman, on our team. We call him Tino Tonelli. His name's Matteo. He was a 988 in the world ATP, and I was talking about him a little earlier. The guy can play. He's exciting, and he lights it up, and he's got the most delightful personality. We laugh every day with him in practice, and he is so gifted. So I'm really blessed because since we got Luke Shields years ago, he was an All-American two times, and he was probably our best freshman we have ever had was Luke. And now this guy's at the same level. And, Luke went on to be five in the nation at Boise State. So this is kind of like – in the same, he's like a Kellen Moore in a sense. Mm-hmm. And he hears his freshman from Middle East, kind of a leader. But this guy's so great. Probably, you guys would love him. He comes here and he just cannot believe, he's this little Italian guy and he just can't believe the women at Boise State. This is so, coach, he goes up to me, he goes, coach, I feel like I'm in heaven. All the girls are so nice to me. They're so, and then so the guys, so he's teaching the guys, how to make friends with the girls. So he cooks pasta, and he has the guys like, there's a girl they like. He goes, you have them come over to, because he's an apartment. He goes, you have them come over to my apartment with Kyle, who was our top player last year. He says, you come to our house, I will make dinner for you and your date. So the guys bring him over, and he cooks pasta for him. I mean, this is how you build a team.
Yep.
This is how you build a team. And he's making dinner for his teammates on dates. I go, this guy is a dream from heaven. I'm going to the Vatican and I go meet the Pope and thank him that this guy was in Italy. I love the guy.
Major going to be like, is he going to be a restaurant person after?
I don't know. This guy's got charisma, but he's got a tennis career ahead of him somehow, some way.
Yeah, now, charisma. Does he have a backhand?
He has a backhand that would knock your lights out. He's got a forehand. This guy can play. He's a real deal. I mean, he played on the pro circuit, ATP. Not my son went out and played pro, but he was playing, he's playing futures and challenges. It was like playing, what's the baseball?
Minor league baseball.
Minor league baseball, right. Yeah. But he was like
Class A.
It, you know, but this guy was playing on the circuit, and he was one of the great hopes for Italy. But the problem was the guy just didn't grow. I mean, he's like 5'7". He might grow, but I'm trying to teach. I got to give him some steak and potatoes and American food in rather than just all the pasta.
Now, this weekend, you've got people all over the city. There's, what, three courts you're using so that people can catch you at different places?
The majority of the matches will be, the headquarters is Appleton on campus. Okay. And the parking on Friday, you can park at Taco Bell. Mm-hmm. On Saturday, you might have to go into one of the garages or go to the Liberal Arts. Mm-hmm. Then on Sunday, again, I'll be at Taco Bell. We also play at Julia Davis. Mm-hmm. And then if the weather gets a little bit dicey or cold late night, we'll go over to the Boas. But the majority of the matches will be played at the Appleton. Mm-hmm. And folks, believe me, come on a beautiful day, watch tennis and the energies. It's awesome.
It's a great place to watch if you've never been there with the stands. And the great thing is you can see multiple courts at the same time.
Hey, folks, when I die and I go to heaven, and I'm trying to get there, is what's going to happen? I'm going to ask St. Peter that, you know, could you just send me down as a ghost and just be able to hang out at the Appleton Tennis Center? It is so beautiful. I mean, believe me, I turn on the music at practice. And I am so grateful. People go, I can't understand why I'm so happy. It's like, look what my office is. It's down at the Apple in the middle of the heart and soul of the campus. All these great people, kids, their lives are just ahead of them. And you get to look up the mountains and you get to think, you know, I'm in Idaho. And, you know, I say this, I get in trouble for saying it, but, you know, Jesus does come down here for vacation. This is the place to come. Tahiti? No way. Boise, Idaho? This is the place.
Yeah, young girls full of pasta. Give you my news time, 8:51.
Now, back to Bronco Tuesday on 670 KBOI.
All right, we are back. It's 8:53. Talking tennis in the Dar Walters Fall Classic coming up this weekend. Got to mention here, Bobby, that... got a little football coming up, too.
Friday night, BYU, 8:15 kickoff. So coverage will start at 3 right here on 670 KBOI. And we have Coach Hartson Weekly Thursday night at 7, also right here.
Do you know a guest?
I believe we're having Archie Lewis, Sam Whitney, linebacker. Lewis is an offensive tackle. And I think the assistant coach is Eric Keesaw. But sometimes they sub out at the last minute. But that's who I think we're having.
I'm just looking at Archie. Looks like he could eat some pasta.
Yeah.
Yeah, he could do that indeed. What about later on this year? What do you got as far as the conference? Who's going to be tough?
Oh, wow. Well, Utah State's really tough now. That's, you know, Clancy Shields went there and just rebuilt it. And now
Clancy Shields.
Played for us. His brother played for us. And my assistant coaches, they go there and they took our culture and they instilled it at Utah State. And they got unbelievably good. The best other team is Fresno State, where Luke's the head coach, Luke Shields. You know, it's like, holy crap.
Coaching tree.
Oh, my God. You know, I have 13 guys that have coached and played for me that are head coaches. Mm-hmm. And, my son now is even. My wife, though, the funny thing is my son has got this job at Cal Poly. My wife looked at me and she goes, oh, my God. Our son's turning out to be just like you. That's so funny.
Cats in the cradle, baby.
It's going to be the conference is going to be tougher than ever. New Mexico's great. You know, everybody top to bottom. But I think we're going to be back. You know, we won the conference 4 years in a row. We lost in our fifth year in the last match, last set, kind of like on the last shot.
Yeah.
Last year was an aberration. It was just something that we're kind of forget, and then we're ready to roll again this year. So it's going to be great. We start the season off in January, the team season, which is the meat and potatoes, against two teams in the top 20, Northwestern and Michigan, both two top 20 teams in the country, at Boise.
Nice.
At Boise State, at the Boise Rack and Swip Club. Then the following week we play Portland, who totally renovated their program, redid it, and they were top 40 in the country. So we start off with two teams top 20 and a top 40 team at Boise in January. So it'll be cold, but, you know, just we're indoors and we're at the clubs, and it is fun. And that's how we introduce. Then we go on the road for like 6-7 weeks. You know how I do it.
Oh, yeah.
We go everywhere that's warm.
By the time we get back, it's nice.
It's nice. And then we play all of March and April in Boise at the Appleton, and we're ready to rock and roll. But we get our scars, and that's what happened. Our team was too young last year. We did play pretty well on the road, where I felt we were getting better, but we just had too many hits. By the time we got to the season, we were just... Not this year. It's a new birth.
All right, Greg. Good talking to you.
I love you guys.
Greg Patton, BSU Dennis, Bobby.
Come by and say hello at the Apple this weekend. I'll be happy. I'm the tan, good-looking old guy.
Idaho Talks Live coming up after a news break at the top of the hour. It's 8:56.
If you're talking about it...
They don't care about the view. They're not there for a discussion.
We're talking about it.
Let's take a deep breath and not get too carried away.
This is Idaho Talks Live with Paul J. Schneider and Chris Walton on News Talk 670 KBOI.
Top of the morning, Paul J. and Chris, on a Tuesday. I missed all the Las Vegas stuff yesterday.
Yeah. Well, I mean, sure, you didn't miss it. You were probably watching it on TV at some point.
But what was the...
We had roughly the same information that you did, so...
What was the feeling? I can imagine.
I'm sure that people were simply shocked by it, and everybody was trying to find out more information. I think everybody would like to know what this guy's reason was for doing what he did, but so far nothing has been revealed. You know, he apparently
64
didn't,
years
he
old.
Didn't have much of an online presence, and
apparently was fairly well off. Also,
well, according to his brother, yeah, he'd made money in real estate investing, and also he was a big gambler, and apparently they had lost quite a bit in the casinos. But
yep.
We don't have a report on that yet, an official report, and we may never.
What do you think they'll find something out?
Well, generally, you look at somebody's computers, and they have taken, mm-hmm. you know, all the computers he had at his house and or his the place, you know, where he stayed, the retirement residence in Mesquite.
Guy had an amazing number of guns. What, did he have 19 with him and 23 more at home?
I'm not entirely sure what the number was, but yeah, he had a pretty good collection.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, he decided to use a bunch of them at the wrong time. So,
well,
you know,
takes one.
Nobody has revealed whether he left a note or told anybody of his plans or anything.
Yeah,
and he had checked into the Mandalay Bay on the 28th, which was that was Thursday, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and he. Apparently was part of that whole, or was at least there for the whole country music festival, and then on Sunday just decided it was time to break the windows and kill people. So that's what he did.
The sheer number, the first time I saw it, you know, it was like 50 dead and 500 wounded. That blew my mind.
Yeah.
I'm guessing. The first thing I thought was, well, it has to be more than one. And then you listen back to the audio,
mm-hmm.
you know, you got a machine gun going off in the background.
Yeah. As we said, that if that was a semi-automatic, it was definitely turned into an automatic by him.
Well, the guy knew what he was doing, obviously.
Apparently. Well, and this is a deal. I mean, we've never, I don't know that there's ever been a case where somebody has opened fire like at a packed stadium at a game.
Well, he obviously set this up way in advance.
And the first time I ever heard, I think, of somebody blowing themselves up or anything at a concert was that Ariana Grande concert that was mm-hmm. in Europe.
Yep.
And then this, the guy just, he was up above. Looked down and he was 400 yards away. He was clear across the street.
Mm-hmm.
When they first talked about it, they acted like he was in, he was right next to the Mandalay Bay and was just shooting straight down, but that wasn't the case. He was shooting across the street.
Yeah.
And it's just that they couldn't get out of there fast enough and they were all packed in.
Yeah, there you go.
22,000 people packed in like sardines to a concert.
You just said it. You couldn't.
But again, if you have a suicide bomber in that sort of situation, you're going to have a lot of casualties, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
And in this particular case, you had a guy with automatic weapons fire, and managed to shoot nearly 600 people. It's there are certain people who think, well, it's a miracle that fewer than 60 actually got killed. There are several that are in very bad shape, very critical condition, though.
Yeah. You're familiar with Mesquite, right?
Well, yeah, Mesquite. I've driven to Las Vegas before, and there are two ways that are easy to get there from here. One is to drive straight down through the Nevada desert, but there aren't a lot of places to stop. And I like to use freeways, and so I've driven down through Salt Lake and then all the way down through Utah. And the first place you come to in Nevada, after you get, you know, done with like St. George and Cedar City, is you get to Mesquite, and it's got that big pink Casablanca hotel, and they've got all kinds of beautiful golf courses, and it's a little like Jackpot, only it's a little more lush. Mm-hmm. And then about an hour later, you're in Las Vegas.
Yeah. St. George, Utah gun shop owner Chris Mitchell said he sold a gun earlier this year to Stephen Paddock, the resident believed to have been the gunman.
Mm-hmm.
Waking up to read that one of his former customers had opened fire on a crowd and killed nearly 60, Michael said he had an awful feeling. My gut fell out from underneath me. I mean, it was the worst thing I could ever imagine. He owns the Dixie Gunworks, said he recognized Stephen Paddock, the apparent shooter, immediately, recalling how he'd sold a man a shotgun earlier this year. Well, at least he didn't have to worry about it being used if he was across the street and 400 yards away, because his shotgun's not going to go that far. Amazing.
Well, and clearly he was using, I guess,
of course,
according to people, modified.
He could have modified stuff, right. So I suppose he could. It became clear that Panic had not used a shotgun, having fired into the crowd from several hundred yards away. But Mitchell said he was still overwhelmed by sadness. And,
I guess that's understandable.
Mm-hmm. Is it going to be a...
Well, but this guy, Stephen Paddock, I mean you could have done all kinds of background checks on the guy. And apparently, apart from the fact that his father had been a criminal,
mm-hmm.
He only had like a traffic citation or something.
Mm-hmm. His father had some problems.
Yeah, his father, I guess, had been a bank robber and escaped from prison and all sorts of things.
And I think wasn't he in the loony bin as well?
Well, very possibly.
Mm-hmm.
But, you don't necessarily assume that's going to pass from generation to generation.
And I apologize for using that term. I was just struggling for...
Yeah, he was in the hospital.
He was mentally infirm. Firearms experts suggest Paddock may have been using easily accessible modification equipment.
Well, yeah. Probably was.
19 guns, and Lord knows how many rounds of ammunition. Fairly high caliber guns, meaning big bullets. How do you get all that stuff up in the room without being seen?
Well, I guess bring things in with luggage, because, in a hotel, especially in Las Vegas, who's going to pay attention to somebody bringing in luggage? And you can bring in one a day or two a day or three a day, and there's nobody going to be saying, okay, you've brought in too many bags, let's check those bags, because they don't do that.
Do you have any idea how long he was in the room?
Well, from the 28th until Sunday night is all I know.
So,
a week. So Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. No, mm-hmm. Just 4 days.
Hmm. Amazing. All right, let's take a break. We'll be back. It's 9:15.
This is Idaho Talks Live, today at 3. Listen to Nate on 670 KBOI.
She's a good girl, loves her mama, loves Jesus, in America too. She's a good girl, is crazy about Elvis, loves horses, than her boyfriend too.
And of course, Tom Petty
passed away yesterday at
passed
the age
away.
Of 66.
Had a no resuscitate order in, and basically was brain dead.
Yeah, had a massive
massive heart attack
on Sunday night. And it was reported early yesterday that he had died, but essentially that report was early because they said that he had no brain activity and he was being unhooked from life support.
Mm-hmm.
And
would not live through the night.
Right. And CBS and a couple of others immediately released on Twitter and a few
you
other places.
You unhooked him, he's dead. No,
that,
he's
that
not.
He was dead, but he wasn't until about maybe 5 o'clock or so. But
yep. All right, let's KBOI rewards code
is Petty.
Petty, P-E-T-T-Y. Petty, go to 670KBOI.com, enter Petty, earn today's 5,000 rewards points. Let's go to Mark. Mark, good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. Well, another faux pas by CPS. CBS between pushing Petty into the grave before he was dead. And
let's beat the other guy, even if it's
Yeah, and then you have that executive lawyer for CBS, and has shot her big mouth off and got canned for what she said about the attack down there in Vegas. You know, when my sons and I watched this thing and I listened to it, I first thought this guy had an LMG or light machine gun up there. There were callers into your station when Nate was on yesterday. And in the afternoon on Nate's show, when he was on his regular show, and then Savage, that they thought this guy had like a heavy machine gun or machine gun. But I just sent you guys both an email. I want you to just look at the email. It says bump stock, AR-15. Those things are so legally in this country, and I can't be honest with you, and I am totally a Second Amendment, pro-Second Amendment guy. But I can't understand how these things are actually allowed out there. It basically will turn an AR-15, AK-47, or any gun like that into a pretty much an full automatic weapon.
So are you talking about what they sometimes call a gun crank?
Now, what they are is a bump stock. They get a spring in the stock part itself that butts up against your shoulder. Every time you pull the trigger, the recoil causes your finger to bounce back and hit that trigger again. Go, just Google bump stock, you guys, bump stock AR-15. Click on those videos, and you will see stuff that will totally shock you. It might as well be fully automatic, a fully automatic weapon. Now, you can imagine this guy. Now, Savage had said this is about 400 yards away from the shooter's point to where he shot down that crowd.
Right.
That's more than close enough, even for an AK-47. AK-47s aren't as accurate as an M16 is, but you put a drum on there, one of these bump fires, and I thought because you heard a pause between the first round, it sounded like a 100-round drum going off. I mean, the number of bullets that he fired was not in a 20- or 30-round clip or even a 40-round clip on an AR-15, let's say. He had to have a drum on there. Some people thought he had a belt-fed weapon up there, automatic weapon. But, you know, you could do that with a 100-round drum. And you hear a pause, and then you hear a different noise as if he jumped to another window, and the echo effect made it sound like a totally different weapon is what I kind of concluded to, because I really thought this guy had a machine gun, a light machine gun up there. But I figured he had tripods. They said he had tripods up there, and I'm hearing he had 23 guns up there is what's showing on the Internet there on Drudge Report from the Daily Mail. But
so I'm reading this gun crank thing.
Flagfire is another company that does it, Paul.
Yeah, trigger cranks. You can get up to 700 rounds a minute.
Isn't that a shocker?
700.
Bumpfire Systems out of Texas is another one that sells those. Slidefire.
Cost $40.
Yeah, yes.
$40.
And I've seen them in action, let me put it that way. And they will make any semi-automatic into a full automatic. I'll let you guys go on that.
All right. Thanks, Mark. Anyone with an AR-15 can bolt one on and crank out rounds as fast as a fully automatic gun without a Class 3 machine gun license.
It's 9:26. We'll be back.
This is Idaho Talks Live. Today at 10, listen to Rush on 670 KBOI.
All right, we are back. Paul, Jay, and Chris, kind of defragging Las Vegas. It's amazing. I didn't get a name on this phone call. All right, let's go to John of Boise. John, good morning.
Good morning, guys. Hey, I've listened to Mark a little bit, and I think I agree with most of what he has to say. He's a pretty well informed guy, but I noticed as he was talking that there's something going on here with our nation, as far as the Constitution goes. And it seems to me, and maybe I'm just making connections where they don't belong, but it seems to me that every single constitutional right is being attacked by that right. In other words, our own constitutional rights are being weaponized against us. And we're going to lose our Second Amendment rights if we don't figure out a way to get a handle on this. Our First Amendment rights have already been, called hate speech. The Fifth Amendment right is even being used inappropriately. Had Lois Lerner gets in front of Congress and gives her speech and then claims a Fifth Amendment right to say what she wants to say, but not allowed to for rebuttal. And I think that there's a certain faction of our nation, especially our leaders, who think this nation was founded unfairly. And it needs to be torn down and started over. I'm not sure why they want to put their name at the bottom of the page or something. They want their minute of glory, or I don't know what it is. But there is a danger there with having people, allowing people to weaponize their own constitutional rights against us. And unless we see it that way, we're not going to be able to combat it. That's my personal opinion.
I would think that actually, and the case is that most of the people who want that stuff are not currently in power of any kind. And they've been after the Constitution for, a long, long, long time. And, yeah, occasionally we have an amendment of some sort, but we haven't had one in a while. There are 27 of them. I don't think that the First Amendment and the Second Amendment they're not in terrible danger. They're not in danger of going anywhere just yet. And there are people that want to tweak things. Like they want to say, okay, we still want Americans to be able to have guns, but, maybe we should try to make it so nobody can have an automatic weapon, or you can buy one a month or something like that. And the thing about the free speech is people don't want anybody to, incite riots and stuff like that. Now, I defend the Constitution, and I've always said that the Constitution is not an easy thing, because if you're going to defend the right to free speech, you're going to have to put up with a lot of speech you don't want to hear, because everybody has free speech, not just you and the people who agree with you.
Okay,
and the same thing goes for the Second Amendment, in that, guns can be dangerous if people use them incorrectly.
That's how you and I think.
Yeah.
They don't think that way.
Well,
they're not thinking that way at all. Dianne Feinstein flat out said if she'd had her way, that Mrs. and Mr. America, turn them all in, all your mm-hmm. weapons, all of them.
Well,
right
she didn't have her way, which is good.
Yes, and she's not really
now the things that, however, the things that she thinks are very popular in her part of California, that isn't the whole country, fortunately.
The fact that there's somebody elected to office that could even say those things, what's her name, Maxine Waters, said that if she had her way, all of BP and Exxon and all those petroleum companies would be under government rule.
Mm-hmm.
Flat out said it. So they've got a connection of people. Hopefully, another point just came up this morning on the news, that these are all very old people, and they're going to be gone soon, thankfully. The morning session is not going to be too long at their funeral, I don't think. Well, not in this part of the country anyways.
No, they won't have it in this part of the country anyway, but... and the weird thing about the First Amendment is it gives you the right to say all the other amendments are bad, but it doesn't necessarily give you the right to change them yourself.
Well, they are restricting what you can say by calling it hate speech when it really isn't.
Well, and that's why you protest against that.
Well, you shouldn't have to protest.
Well, and yet we have the right to protest. So
now it's a Nazi protest. See,
yeah.
they've stacked, they're using, that's why I said, they're weaponizing our amendment rights as weapons against what America really is.
They cannot see they cannot see how fascist life goes by.
Cannot see their nose in front of their face.
Exactly, something of that nature.
Okay, you guys have a good day.
Oh, you too. There are always people. Thanks. There are always people who believe they have the solution to make everybody happy. Unfortunately, the solution is that they would be in charge and be able to set all the rules by themselves.
Yeah, and then the rules would all be things.
And in a lot of countries, those people
they
do
live by.
A lot of countries, those people do eventually end up in charge.
Yeah,
but in none of those countries are they right about that.
It's just like the Second Amendment. The attacks on the Second Amendment. When's the last time we had a serious attack on the Second Amendment?
Well, it depends on how, you know, what you consider serious.
Well,
but
they got very far.
Well, none of them have ever been signed into law yet. Let's put it that way.
But, okay, that's
but
point.
There are background checks. There are things like that, and people consider that to be chipping away. But some of that stuff makes a great deal of sense. Like, you know, should, if you'll pardon the expression, maniacs have guns? Probably not.
Yeah. And I was, you know, I looked up this bump stock and man. There's no use for this. Even Mark said there's no use for this.
Well, unless you want to obliterate a target.
Yeah, I mean, I like to do this for recreational shooting.
Well,
how much is 700 bullets?
Probably more than I have in my pocket.
I would assume so.
All right.
Yeah. It's 9:45.
You are listening to Idaho Talks Live on 670 KBOI.
KBOI News Time, 9:49. Got a couple of phone calls. Let's get to them as soon as I can bring them up here. All right, let's go to Brock of Boise. Brock, good morning. Hey, Brock.
Was it Buck?
Oh, Buck. Hey, how you doing?
I'm good, Paul J. I've just been watching the news, of course, and thinking about this damage to the Anne Frank Memorial hate speech and this alleged white supremacist deal that was supposed to be taking place. And I'm getting suspicious, and I want to follow the money. And who benefits by all that? It looks to me like we got somebody trying to create unrest here in Boise and give us a bad name. And if we follow the money, I guess I'm just suspicious that all that is above board.
I always ask, to what end? Who benefits from Boise getting a bad rep?
Was there money raised for the Anne Frank Memorial as a result?
So that's why you're saying it was a money raising.
No, he says he's suspicious.
Uh-huh.
I'm suspicious. excuse me. I'm always suspicious, though. Just a thought, gentlemen.
Yeah, I mean, there's a difference between accusing somebody and just asking a question. And I think he's more or less asking a question. You know, is this sort of thing a possibility?
Well, you always wonder sometimes, like a lot of people think the Black Lives Matter thing is, thanks for the call, is not what it seems.
Well, go back to, you know, Gulf.
But you don't know.
Gulf of Tonkin. I mean, all sorts of stuff.
Yeah.
You know, here's the reason we're going to do this. Yeah, but still not sure about that. Well, you know, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, and how many years ago was that?
It made everybody mad after I made a speech about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right, let's go to Chris of Boise. Chris, you're on 670 KBOI. Good morning.
Good morning, Paul J.
Hey.
Well, I was a machine gunner in a military, in Bulgaria, over there to draft people when they get 18 as a former communist military. So I was on a light machine gun AK-47, and those had a 250 rounds clips that, you know, it was an infantry machine gunner, which means that I was supposed to advance while everybody covered me, and then I was supposed to cover the rest of the platoon. It was a suicidal position, because everybody's trying to shoot the machine gunners.
Get the machine gunners. It's giving me a headache.
Yeah. But, you know, and I own the AK-47. I was trained over there on them. And people don't realize that part that makes the AK-47 fully automatic, it's only $40 on the on a gun show. They sell those. But you don't even need that part. What people do is get a small electrical battery-operated motor, let's say 500 rounds per minute motor, and then put a half crescent on it that will fit inside the trigger, and it'll just turn it, and it will be doing 500 rounds a minute. But also, the bump fire, what they're talking about is you stiffen your finger and you lightly pull the gun forward, and it will become a machine gun. See, all you need is to lodge your finger, your thumb into your pants, and then put the trigger finger in it and pull the machine gun forward. And it's not just that, but also it will do it with the Glock pistols, with any kind of weapon. Anything semi-automatic becomes a machine gun when you do a bump fire on it. And all you need is your technique. But I suspect there's something behind this attack.
Is there going to be like a letter arrive somewhere or something? I can't figure this whole thing out.
Here's one other suspicion that I've got. They said that this man did a lot of poker.
Yep.
And also he was gambling $10,000 a day.
Yeah, that's a lot.
And then that might be, he just said, well, he was on a suicide mission, and he said, well, maybe I'll blow my money before I go. I don't want to leave him just hanging, go to waste. I'll blow the money first. Or he was an addicted gambler, and, you know, addicted gamblers, especially if they're losing, they try to tend to keep that to themselves. But if you're losing this kind of money, people tend to get suicidal. Why did he choose to go in such a, maybe he hated people around Vegas. I don't know. But definitely something was wrong with his mind. Something had triggered him to, and he had more problems than, and I'm sure they'll come up, but I'm suspecting some mental trauma, not necessarily a mentally ill guy, but gambling or something drove him into this. And that's pretty sad what he did. But, you know, the other thing is his father was a schizophrenic,
right,
and a pretty crazy guy. And also a lot of these mental illnesses will get passed down its genetics.
All right.
Well,
thanks for the call.
I got to tell you, I don't know what his reasons were. I don't know why he did it. But pretty much any doctor, I think, will tell you that if you shoot 600 people and you're not in a war, that you probably qualify as a psychopath.
I'm guessing you're right. See you bright and early tomorrow morning. Have a good day.